Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Hey, man, we got a little beer coming up for the wintertime. Men's room, Ola Days Holiday Porter from Black Raven Brewing. Available for just a limited time and only on tap. Man, 7.5% alcohol.
Be
and
careful.
And it'll be on tap at some limited locations in the area. We'll bring those to you on Friday when we get the complete list of places it'll be carrying the beer. But the idea here is, on the Holiday Porter, notes of grandma's famous rum balls, chocolates, vanilla, orange peel, and holiday spices. And, of course, a portion of net proceeds benefit our friends here at the three local Fisher House.
Yes, indeed.
So if you're looking for a good Holiday Porter and you see it on Draft Care, your favorite bar and pub, pour yourself a glass of that.
And one thing, you might not know this, we've had a beer out for many, 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 many years now. And when we first started this, we've always been aligned with the Fisher House. When we started this, there were two local Fisher houses. Believe it or not, a lot of the funds that's been raised through this beer and you guys drinking it and buying it went on to contribute to a third Fisher House in the region.
And you know what? They also...
Power of beer, baby.
They also don't need to take the budget that comes down federally for those locations, because if you guys buying the beer, they can allocate that to other areas.
And, which is huge.
And places that need it. And you know what? We don't preach this enough, but the idea behind the Men's Room IPA, the Men's Room Ola Days, Holiday Porter, the San Juan Salsa, the Men's Room Roasted Red Salsa, the Men's Room Beer Brought from Uli's Famous Sausage. A portion of those net proceeds go to the three local Fisher houses. Now look, you got to pay for the product, you got to pay for the delivery, you got to pay for, but by the time it gets done, what is your profit? And
right.
We give a percentage of that profit to the Fisher House. And the Fisher House is basically the same thing as a Ronald McDonald House. And, you know, we talk a lot about veterans, but this is for active military as well.
Correct.
People who get involved in some situations where they need some long-term medical care. You don't know how long they're going to be in the hospital, but, you know, families are not in this area. It's the military. They come from everywhere.
Yeah.
And the families need a place to stay, whether it's a week, whether it's a month. Ted, as you said, you know, your dad, who was involved in the charity, used to talk about, you know, people sleeping in their cars.
Yeah, people would sleep in cars for days or weeks because they didn't have anywhere to stay. So at the Fisher House, right, they have a place to stay. There's kitchens. There's nice rooms. They're nice homes.
Yeah, they're actually super nice.
And that way they can be there as the support system for their family member who needs it at that time.
Yeah, it's a huge thing, man. And so, it makes a massive difference.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, as far as the Ola Days Porter is concerned, if you want to join us for a little party, Saturday, November the 2nd from 4 until 8, we'll be up at the Black Raven Brewery in Woodinville and celebrating just this. So we'll finally get a chance to taste the beer, hang out with you. I'm telling you, from everything we've heard, this is going to be one of the best porters you've ever taste.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, yeah.
It's going to be good stuff, and we're going to have a good afternoon. So if you're in the area, 4 until 8, Saturday, November 2nd, join us for our Ola Days Porter Party, so to speak.
Porter Party.
Porter Party.
Not a Porta Potty.
Porter Party.
This is the Porter
it's
Party.
It's a Porter Potty.
Are we going to have a Porta Potty at the Porter Party?
We should.
It's a Porter Potty.
Mike, can you make a rhyme, or not a rhyme, but a tongue twister, since you do the auctioneering thing?
We need a Porta Potty, Porter Potty.
Yeah, we need the Porter Party, Porter Potty.
Exactly. I think we should have somebody else ask for the Porta Potty.
For the Porter Party?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need a porta potty, porta potty. Boy, I get stuff to say.
That's true. Our question now, what did you do and what was the punishment that you received? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Carolyn. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi.
Hola.
Hola, yes. Okay, here's my deal. Let me turn the radio off. Here's what happened to me. Back in the 60s, when I was in high school, I was with a group friends, and it was on a Friday night. We had nothing to do, so we were just walking around up in Skyway. Decided to go into this little grade school, and I'll turn my car off here so it quits beeping. Go over to this grade school, just went on the swings, and we thought, well, why don't we just get on the school roof? You know, let's just shinny up the pole and sit on the school roof. So we did. And if any of you are listening, if you have I graduated from Renton High School in 65. I won't say his last name, but you'll know who I'm talking about. Dennis is his first name. Recently died. Anyway, we're on the school roof and we're singing. You know, so we're just, you know, we're just innocent. Just up there singing. The next thing we know, it's like, whoa, what's going on? We've got a great
oh, no.
going on. So we look down and there's the cops. and like three different cars, and they've got their lights on, and it's like, wow, I wonder what in the heck's going on. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, kids, get off the roof. And it's like, whoa, here's Maria. Thought we were some kind of criminals or something.
Carolyn, do you have a phone from the 60s?
Oh, okay. Can you hear me better now?
You're just breaking up.
Yeah, I lost a big part of that story.
Oh, okay. Let me get out of the car.
I like Carolyn. She's multitasking. Okay. Much better.
Yeah. Okay, that's better.
So you're on the roof, you see cops, and then what?
Yeah, we're on the roof, and we're just singing. You know, just innocent kids just singing, had no idea. And all of a sudden, we hear cop cars and lights, and we're thinking, oh, my gosh, we have got this great view of something big going on. So I wonder what it is. Next thing we know, the cops are going, okay, kids, get off the roof. And it's like, oh, my gosh, they're there for us. It's like, oh, no. What? You know, we had no idea we were doing anything wrong. So they put us in the car. We're driving through. We're heading to the Renton Police Department, of course. We're driving by Dag's, which was like the big hangout. And as the girls, all of us are like hitting the floor, Dennis, did you hear who Dennis was?
Yes, we heard Dennis, yes. Dennis, he recently passed away.
Dennis was like sticking his head out the window and like, woohoo, you know, he was like thinking this is really fun. Well, they called my parents and all they said was, come and pick up your daughter. She's at the Renton Police Department. Oh, my gosh. My mom cried the whole way there. They didn't say anything else. She had no clue why we were there. We walk in the back door of the police department. There's this old drunk sitting there going, what have they got you kids for? And we went singing on the school roof. And it's like, what? The drunk was like yelling at the police, like, don't you have anything better to do? So anyway, parents came and got me. When my dad found out that it was because we were sitting on a school roof singing, oh my goodness, he gave the policeman a real earful. Said my wife cried the whole way. You didn't tell us. You know, we thought something horrible. You know, and it's like they're just innocent kids. They didn't think anything about sitting on the school roof singing. You know, nowadays, of course, anything like that would be considered, you know, really bad. But back then, my gosh, it was in the 60s.
It's situational.
You know, in the 60s.
Well, I don't think the decade matters. If it doesn't matter to you, then it doesn't matter. If it matters, then it matters.
Right. Yeah, but I think more so nowadays, people are a little more... No.
Oh, you're fading out again, Carolyn. You know what? I'm still trying to figure out who did it.
I mean, she's right, though. She's right as far as people being suspicious. I do think now if you're sitting on a roof, even if you're just singing, like, people have a much more paranoid response to everything. Years ago, I didn't get in trouble for this, but the first house I lived in after I moved out of my parents' house, three-story row home in Baltimore, no big deal. Like, five of us lived there officially, probably seven of us lived there unofficially. But anytime you could get alone time, you would take it, man. So the one thing any of us would do, you just climbed up on the roof, right? Had easy access. So I'm sitting on the roof, great view, and there's this lady walking down the street. She's probably about my age, like young 20s. She looks up. She sees me. Most people do not look up when they walk. That is a fact, right? But she sees me, and she kind of smiles and says, like, you're not going to jump, are you? I'm like, oh, no, man, I'm just chilling. Like, it's a summer day. Everything's fine. And so she leaves. About 2 minutes later, cop comes up, she's back, so clearly she has now called 911 to say there's a potential jumper on the roof, which I was not. Again, I'm up there with a beer, I just want to relax. But now there's a cop down there, my neighbors are coming out of their houses, right? There's people I know, so now it's getting stupid. I keep yelling down to the cop, you know, he's trying to negotiate to make sure I stay calm, and I'm like, buddy, I'm calm, man. Like, trust me when I tell you this is a misunderstanding, I'm just up here to chill out, and now there are 30 people on the street. There's a cop car. You're calling for backup. I just wanted to realize, like, this is the opposite of what I was trying to do. So it takes about 10 minutes because I'm trying to assure him. And to this cop's credit, man, the whole time, keeping eye contact, like, son, you know, whatever's going on, man. I'm like, guys, there's nothing going on. I just want to chill out after work. Not believing me, but when I go to stand up, because I'm going to stand up, walk back into the house, go down to the front door.
And all right, that's what I was going to ask. Like, yeah.
But, you know, but the conversation's going on. But every time I moved, you know, and just naturally, you'll kind of reverse your leg position. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You do that, I'm like, oh, every time. So when I stood up, and again, just to get back in the house, I stand up, and everyone sees me. They think this is the moment. He's going to jump. So now there's this massive scream from the street, and I'm just looking down there like, Jesus Christ, man. Finally, I go down, I open the door, the cop grabs me. I'm like, dude, relax. It takes about 10 minutes to convince him. And part of what helped is I had two roommates get home at this time, and they're kind of smiling. And they're like, do you know this guy? And they're like, yeah, man, he's our roommate. He was up on the roof. And so they explained, listen, just as a rule in this house, man, if anyone climbs up on the roof, it's just to get away and chill out and probably enjoy a beer. But this took forever. But then every time I left the house, anytime you saw a neighbor, you know, they looked so sad.
You okay?
When they looked at, are you okay? I'm like, dude, I was. I honestly was. I had a decent day at work. I was sitting on the roof. I'm chilling out. And
I mean,
then,
it would just be odd to see somebody on a roof. I'm just thinking nowadays.
You're not wrong.
If I'm just driving through a neighborhood and there's just a, they're
a
not
dude
working.
Sitting on a roof, you're right.
There's a dude sitting on, I would be like, what's going on, man?
I mean, look, you know what, man? No one's wrong about this.
I disagree. Well, where I grew up, there was a lot of houses with dormer windows. So those were on the second.
The super slanted ones?
Yeah, they kind of come out of the little, like, if you're up in the top floor inside, they have their little holes, you know what I'm saying? But the roof is still below that.
Yeah.
And you go down there and sit on the roof all the time. I mean, it's only one floor down.
Right, right.
When you're
ain't going to hurt yourself on one floor.
Yeah, but people would go up there and chicks in the neighborhood would, like, sunbathe up there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You'd sit up there with your buddy. Like, I had a couple of friends that had that style Cape Cod house, and yeah, you got on the roof all the time.
I mean, look,
because our bedroom window opened up on the roof.
If I'm driving through, like, the fraternity district in the U district,
mm-hmm.
right, where all the fraternity houses are.
Yeah.
There's five dudes up there in lawn chairs. I might just guess, oh, they're ripping beers.
If they're in a lawn chair, I would ignore it. You're right.
But I'm just picturing, like,
I'm sitting with my, like, it's a, take a shoebox, make it vertical. That's the shape of the house. I'm sitting on top. And to be fair, the way I'm sitting, my feet are hanging over the front, right? So the roof, the roof is just your seat. And, like, I'm just hanging, but we've done it a million times. It's just this girl saw it on this day. And I got this big ass response, and the whole time I'm like, my God.
I will
dude.
Say this, that would terrify me because I know those are three stories, and
yeah.
they still have a half story before you even get to the first. So it's really technically
three
and a half stories tall.
I was super tall.
I would freak out if I was up there. I'd be like, hey, man, you need to back up there because you're going to give me a panic.
But you just got used to it. You know, it's just kind of what we did. And you're right, Ted. I mean, everything about it looks suspicious.
And honestly, my mind's just racing now. I'm trying to think of my age at 43. Like, if I'm just sitting on a roof, like, I don't know. I would have to have, like, a sign, like, just drinking beer.
I'm married, just, man. I got kids.
Something. Just something, because you're right. It would make, like, dude's not putting
she's
up Christmas
driving
lights.
Me crazy.
But I'm literally, you know what? Looking back, I absolutely look like a guy that was going to, you just don't think about it because you're just relaxing. We can see the city skyline. Like, where we, it was great, man.
It's also funny as it's Baltimore, where, like, we would sit on the stoop for hours on end drinking beers.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody gave it a second thought.
Nope.
What did you do and what was the punishment you received? 206-803-ROCK.
Which I'm pretty sure is illegal.
To drink beer on a stoop?
It's your home. Yeah, but the way the city did it depends on the city. Because
they kind of own the sidewalk. They own...
They do.
But it turns into, like, two dudes sitting, four dudes standing. Everybody has an open container. And back then, we probably were drinking a 40 of Mickey's. I'm just like, it was allowed, but I can't...
Right. You
technically, it's probably more illegal than him sitting on the roof.
You weren't all on the steps. It's like the party is like the island in your kitchen. So everyone gathers around the stairs. And yeah, two or three dudes are sitting there. But everyone else is standing around on the sidewalk. Right. Oh, you're right. But they never complain.
And here's the other aspect of it. As far as parking goes, yes, there's Front Street parking. But there's always an alley that runs behind those row homes.
Yeah.
And that's where you would maybe pull your car in behind your home. And there's a little backyard area. There's a little courtyard area. A lot of people have decks.
If you want to call that a yard.
I've never seen anybody in my life in the 10 years I lived there spend any time in the backyard of their row home.
No, it's a cement block where the rats hang out.
Yeah, it's
you put your Weber grill out
that's
there.
That's where all the garbage is.
Yeah, that's you grill. I mean, we were psychos. Again, everybody was going to college. Everybody's 21.
Yeah.
But we would take our TV out there and these are crummy couches.
Of course.
So we would sit out there and watch movies, and then usually around midnight, the cops would come by and be like, you got to turn the movie off.
And by the way, someone here says, I was given a warning from the city of Bellevue for sitting on my roof with my roommates with lawn chairs.
Yeah, I mean, it seems fun. Like, if I'm driving by any neighborhood, I'm just thinking about the neighborhood by us.
Yeah.
Nicer neighborhood. But if there's just two dudes up there like, honk, we're drinking, I'd be like, sweet.
I'm still also wondering who the hell Dennis was.
From what Carolyn said.
Well, if you graduated from Renton High in 65,
yeah, I mean, you know Dennis.
I don't need the last name.
Yeah.
Just Dennis.
Dennis. The Dennis.
Dennis the Menace, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, Dennis usually is Renton. That kind of person.
But you know him.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say his name.
I don't know if I know Dennis.
Dennis the Menace?
I mean, Dennis, well, obviously he kind of set the precedent for what we're going to think of Dennis.
There was a Dennis that coached me in football. I don't have to say his last name, but almost anybody my age went to the Matha that played it all would know him.
I don't know if I know a Dennis.
Seriously, through my entire life. I've known Dennis's, but I cannot remember. When I say the name Dennis.
Now I want to know who Dennis and Renton is.
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
What's Dennis short for? Derek? Or Long?
I think Dennis is just Dennis.
Just its own name?
Dennis. I think.
You know, Dennis down in Renton.
What
did you do and what was the punishment you received? 206-803-ROCK.
I didn't realize we had that many listeners from class 6-5 in Renton High School.
Yeah. They know Dennis. Hello, Adam. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
Hey, can I give one quick shout out? Sorry.
Right, go ahead, man.
All right.
It's for all the band workers, all my brothers and sisters. Get out there and vote today and make sure your voice gets heard.
Is this the day that you guys do the vote?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, definitely vote one way or another.
All right, my story. I was 12 years old. It was 1984. My cousin's family owned a resort on Lake Shasta, so I got to go spend the summer there. And I went water skiing, did the party boat, did all the stuff. Actually got to play a charity softball game with the 1984 Blue Angels.
That's cool.
Which was really cool. And those guys can drink.
From the mouth of a 12-year-old.
Oh, at 12 years old, man, there was a keg sitting at the baseball field. So, yeah, they were drinking. But anyways, we got to a point to where it was kind of a stagnant day and we weren't doing anything. And my cousin had a bunch of old testers models that you glue together and all that.
Sure.
And he had some old fireworks. And so we took this little Corvette model and cut a hole in the back of it, went out to the field. He lived on 5 acres out in the Shasta area. And we put one of those in a fire pit, shoved a Piccolo Pete in the back of it, lit it. It jumped out of the pit and raced across the field. And we commenced to burn down 5 acres of forest land.
Oh, no.
Melted trailer, somebody's camping trailer, almost their house. And, I was never allowed back after that.
Yeah, I bet you were. Do you drink Shasta?
Oh, no. If I can find it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I like that they said, oh, we'll do it in the fire pit. What could go wrong? Nothing. Jump, like Dukes of Hazzard style. Uh-oh.
What did you do and what was the punishment you received? 206-803-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. The men's room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Hey, I'll fall into 5K a day. Here's what you got to do. Download the Odyssey app. Be sure to sign in, create your account there, and listen for 1 hour. 1 hour a day, that's all you need to do. And that gives you a chance to enter and win your share of $5,000 a day until we run out of money. Our question, what did you do and what was the punishment that you received? 206-803-ROCK.
By the way, we got a call a little while ago from our caller or texter calling her Wholesome Carolyn.
Yeah.
She went to Renton High School in 1965.
She knows Dennis.
She knows Dennis. But she just said, look, if you went to Renton High in 1965, that's all you need. It's all the name. So a text comes in and says, all right, that lady called in telling the story about Dennis and Renton in 1965. I'm betting dollars to donuts that was my damn dad, who's no longer with us. And she said he has since passed.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Renton High. He was a dip-ass, and he would have been 17 at that time. I wish he would have said his last name. I'm not going to give out your last name. So you said what the last name is. If you want to call it out, I won't. Very curious if she'd respond.
Well, I'm not sure that we would know your dad. She made it very clear that we would know who this individual was.
Not us.
No,
but
if
anyone
you went to school in 1965 and went in high school, you know Dennis.
She said, if I just say Dennis, you know, I'll just say that the last name begins with the letter G. So if you went to Renton High School in 1965, that's the
you
guy.
You know Dennis.
Yeah.
What did you do? What was the punishment you received? 206-803-ROCK.
I mean, if that guy's going to text in, if you have that inclination, I'm willing to bet that is Dennis.
Probably your dad, if you think that it's your dad.
Yeah.
Hello, Wade. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and chores.
Liquor and chores.
Hola. Let me take you off speaker here. So, so I don't know, I guess my brother and I, we were about 6 or 7 years old, and my mom was a single mom, so we'd have to go out and stay with my aunt. out in Chatteroy, kind of near Spokane or whatever. And anyway, one day we were downstairs jumping on the bed, me and my twin cousins and my brother and my aunt. She's a tiny little lady, but don't even think that she can't hold her own. She always made the punishment fit the crime. I remember my cousin swore one time, and she got the bar of soap treatment, and not just in her mouth, like she made her bite down on it while she pushed the bar of soap in and out of her mouth, like where all the soap was curling up on her teeth. Just crazy stuff like that. My other cousin, she got caught smoking, and my aunt made her smoke an entire pack of cigarettes back to back to back to back to back to back until she got so sick. So she always made the punishment kind of fit the crime. And anyways, we were jumping on the bed, and she opened the door at the top of the stairs and told us, you know, stop jumping on the bed, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you're 6 or 7. You're like, I don't even know how she knew. But so we started jumping on the bed again. So she swooped all of us four kids up and took us out in the back 40 there. And she dug four holes, one for each of us, about arm's length apart. And then she went into the garage and she started throwing stuff around. She's cussing. She's throwing garden tools out the door. And we're all out there crying. And I mean, nobody can hear you out there. Like, no one's coming to your rescue. So anyway, she's like, we're jumping on the bed. I'm going to cement your feet in the ground. You're not only going to not jump on the bed, you're never going to jump again. You know, and at 7 years old, that was terrifying.
Yeah, it's a little terrifying.
Yeah. So we figured out, though, that the way she knew we were jumping on the bed is, I guess, one of the lights upstairs would flicker. And we didn't know that. So, yeah, it was a scary time, man, at that age.
So did you get your feet soaked in quikrete?
She did not. She was all cursing and swearing. She's like, I can't find the cement, blah, blah, blah. But she made us sweat out there, and it was hot over there in Eastern Washington. She made us sweat out there and cry out there for like half an hour.
Well, she's, quote, unquote, yep, looking for the quikrete.
Yeah. And, yeah, we never jumped on the bed again.
Sure.
Wow.
That is terrifying. She was intense.
What did you do? What was the punishment you received? 206-803-ROCK.
I like that he added, she was intense, in case you didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, she sounds chill.
Yeah, sounds very relaxed. Hello, Nathan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello?
Hola.
Hola. Wow. I never thought I'd get on.
You're on there.
So this is all going to sound very stupid. I was in eighth grade. It was history class. It was the very end of history class. And I had stole this lighter from my stepfather. It looked like a little Camel cigarette pack with a cigarette sticking out.
Oh, yeah. I remember those. Yeah.
And you would press the cigarette and it would light. And so I'm sitting in history class. And there's this girl, pretty girl, cute girl. Her name is Marielle. And she's sitting right in front of me, and she's got a low cut shirt, right? And so the plan is, I'm gonna hold this lighter up to her back. She's gonna feel the warmth of it. She's gonna turn around, see that I have a lighter, you know, whatever. Just trying to get this girl's attention, right?
And that was the best plan. That was the best plan you came up with.
He said this would sound dumb.
No, it can, please stupid. Keep going. I am riveted by this. All right.
So, again, not the brightest moment in my life, but so, like I said, I'm going to hold this lighter up to her back. She's going to feel the warmth. Turn around. We're going to talk, whatever. We were friends. You know, it's just, you know, whatever. It's a dumb plan. So,
fail safe.
I didn't factor in her hair at all.
Oh, no.
So I light the lighter, and the back of her hair just goes poof. And so it's there's a flame, and I smacked it, and just black smoke just filled, you know, like it goes up into the classroom. And the girl in front of Marielle, Jennifer, she stands up and she's like, Nathan, lit your hair on fire. And the whole class, like, just like all of a sudden, it's like a cartoon, is just like all around us, like gathered around our desks. And so like, it only burned like the surface of her hair. It wasn't like a full scale, like Michael Jackson episode or anything like that.
All right.
But, so the teacher comes over and he's just like pissed off. I like squeezed out of the crowd and was like standing on the outside, and then the bell rang and I just took off. And but I got a referral, which means you got to go to the principal's office.
You don't say.
And so I go to the principal's office, and you know, I've always been all right about talking my way out of things. So I basically implied that, you know, some of this was true, right? That I was going to go visit my dad in Arkansas for the summer. And I implied to the principal that if my parents found out about this, I would be beaten and I wouldn't get to go see my dad, who I hadn't seen in years, which that part wasn't true. I saw him every summer. But anyway, so they made me give up the lighter, and that was the end of it.
Are you kidding me?
Wow. That's getting off pretty light.
Well, what about Mariel, whose hair you lit on fire?
So, okay, so now, right, the next day, I swear to you, I had to give up the lighter, and nothing else ever came of it. I didn't get suspended. I didn't get detention. I didn't get anything. They didn't tell my parents. I went to Arkansas that summer, had a great time, all that, right? So Mariel, like I said, she's the sweetest girl. She's so cute. She was so awesome. She comes up to me in class, whenever it was, the next day, and she's like, "Nathan, why did you light my hair on fire? I thought we were friends." And I mean, like I said, I didn't have an answer. You know, I had no game, or little to no game, obviously, as I'm explaining this story to you about.
Yeah, we know you didn't have game when you lit someone on fire.
Sounds like she kind of shamed you more than anybody else could.
I mean, she was so sweet about it. She wasn't pissed off in any way, shape, or form. She was genuinely asking me why I did this to her when, you know, she thought we were friends.
Right, and it's almost more embarrassing to be like, "I like you, I didn't know what to do."
And it's worse when they're not angry.
Right, like she's just like, "Why?
Why, Nathan? Why did you light my hair on fire?
My beautiful hair.
That's going to throw you some leg."
Yeah, but now, it really was. Yeah, now you blew that.
Yeah, well.
Hey, man, I've learned.
I mean, it's no worse than, I don't know, sometimes you pick on a girl when you're like a little kid.
Sure, because you're not sure.
You're just like, "I don't know.
I'm going to get her attention by doing something really stupid."
I got stabbed in the back with a pencil.
Yeah, but didn't you tie her hair to her chair or something?
Well, that was a different girl.
Jesus Christ.
This girl was trying to get your attention or just wanted to stab you?
No, so what I did was, okay, the way we had our seats.
Different girl.
I swear to God, Ted, there was this. She had really long hair. And this is the equivalent. You ever see the picture is the person who's on an airplane and someone flips her hair back.
Yeah, it goes all over.
It's like all over the screen. You're like, "That, thanks for nothing." Well, that's what she used to do, man. She used to just, like, her hair was always, like, on my, and it was a lot of hair.
It was on your desk.
Her hair was, like, down to her ass. So it was a ton of hair. She would put some to the side of her shoulders and stuff, but a lot of it would just fall. So these desks are so old, I swear to you. There is a hole in the desk on the top right-hand corner of these desks that we had in West Virginia, and it was for an inkwell.
Oh, we had them, too.
And I'm dead serious. And the desk itself that you were sitting at was part of the front seat to the person in front of you.
Right.
And you sat on a chair that was the person's desk.
Right, the front of their desk.
If that makes any sense. Either way, there was a hole there. So I took her hair, and I was a Boy Scout.
What grade were you in?
Probably sixth grade, fifth grade. And I kind of just got out two pieces of hair, not two clumps of hair, so, you know, like many strands, and weaved one down through the inkwell, and then I tied her hair in a square knot very carefully. She had a lot of hair. She didn't even know I was doing this. And then when she sat up, boom, the head goes back, desk pops up, she slams back down. And the problem was, and I did not really think this through, the problem was that with that tension, when she stood up, the square knot that I tied got tighter.
And right.
I mean, it got tight. Like, you know, like you, like a, your shoelaces, your sweatshirt.
Sure.
I mean, it got tight. So I couldn't get it out. Like I couldn't. So then I dug my pencil down into the square knot and was finally able to release the hair.
Yeah, yeah. But How long did this take?
But I ripped some of her hair. Oh, God, man. That was... I did not get suspended. I was never... I was not allowed to sit by her anymore. I was not allowed to talk to her anymore. There was a bunch of rules like that. She doesn't want you to ever talk to her again or be near her again. But
how much of the hair did she lose?
Some hair pulled out. I mean, I don't know how much it was. I mean,
a lot. Your answer says a lot.
No, it was not like a splotchy mark or anything like that. It wasn't, you know. But it was not my proudest moment, like that guy said.
But wait, then why did a different girl stab you in the back with a pencil? Because
she just hated me.
And she just stabbed you in the back with a pencil.
She just hated me.
Why did she hate you?
Because she was...
I know you. Why did she hate you?
Because
why are you asking?
Okay, because her and her sister...
He's tied up other girls to death.
Yeah.
This pencil incident was long.
Her and her sister were these two sisters who always wanted... They always threatened to beat up boys.
Yeah.
They were the Klingon Smiths. We called them the Klingon Gang. They lived in a hollow. They lived a different lifestyle. They were just rough and tough girls. I mean, they just were. And they always wanted to get into fights. And they were picking fights with everybody. So, you know, our group of friends, we'd always be like, we don't want to get in a fight. We have no right. idea why you want to get in a fight all the time. So one day, for no reason, she decided she
no
was just
reason.
I did not. You don't want to address the. You did not want to address them.
Okay. All
right. She just took this pencil, man. Boom, right in my back, and it stuck in the middle of my back. The teacher ended up pulling the pencil out, but when he pulled the pencil out, the lead stayed in.
Right.
So I still have a piece of lead in my back from frickin' Debbie Klingensmith in like the fourth grade when she stabbed me in the back.
Have you Googled her?
Debbie Klingensmith is the person at the time. Okay, there was this girl at the fountain getting a drink of water.
Yeah.
When she had her head down, and they were not associates, Debbie grabbed the back of her head and smashed it down
Jesus.
On the fountain and knocked half the teeth out of her mouth. For blood, ding, 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 teeth in the water fountain. That's who this person was.
Good God, man.
So you knew she was a time bomb. You did not know what she was capable of. I did not expect to get stabbed in the back with a pencil. What did you do, and what was the punishment you received? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Dane. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys.
Hola.
Yeah, so the funny thing is, this story is not about me. It's about my father.
All right.
So he grew up in Seattle, and he outran the cops two times in one day.
What was he up to?
He's a respectable man. He has his master's degree, he's a CPA, the whole thing. He was born in the 40s, so grew up in the 50s and 60s. And when he was younger, he was a paper boy. And he decided it would be funny, after he delivered papers, to ring all the doorbells in the apartment complex, just like top to bottom, just ring, ring, ring.
Oh, you mean on the outside panel?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so he thought that was funny. One of them called the cops, because apparently that had been happening a lot. So, cops get called. He sees the cops. He's a long-distance runner, so his first thoughts are, if I can make it the first 100 yards, there's no way they could catch me. So, sure enough, he runs. He jumps over fences. The whole thing. Like a movie. And he outruns the cops. And he finally takes a breather. He's like, okay. I'm mate. I got away. And he leans against the stop sign. And the stop sign's got a wiggle to it. And he's like, well, I want a souvenir for this day. So he decides to pull out the stop sign from the ground. Right as another cop shows up. Once again, lights pop on. He outruns the cops again that day with the stop sign.
He kept the stop sign. Was he holding on to the stop sign?
What was that?
Was he holding on to the stop sign?
He was leaning against it.
But he didn't take off running with it when the cops got him the second time, right?
From the story I know, he took the stop sign with him.
Okay, because I was going to say, well, I've stolen stop signs before.
Mm-hmm.
We had one in our living room. This is honest to God truth. They are so much bigger than you think they are.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. We would steal all... We had deer signs, you know, like deer in the
deer
area.
Deer crossing, yeah.
That had probably no less than 12 gunshot holes through them from people doing target practice. So we're having a party. We're having a party one night. Cops come to the party. You need to keep the noise down, all those things, right? So they come in the living room. There's a huge bong in there.
Mm-hmm.
Weed is illegal, obviously, at this point in time. We're 18, 19 years old. This is one of our first apartments. This is the house we have. It's got like 7, 8 guys living in it. The entire dining room was decorated in speed limit signs, street signs. That's basically what we had up as art. The cop's like, guys. And we're like, oh, please. My buddy, he had to go all the way to Pittsburgh to a head shop to get this bong. You don't understand. Like,
right.
we there's nowhere else to buy one. Like, please don't take the bong. He's like, I'm not concerned about you smoking weed. All these signs in your homes, they don't belong to you. And I have a feeling that you know exactly how you got them.
Yeah.
So that was like a Friday or Saturday night. On Monday, he came back with whoever the Department of Transportation is.
Yeah. Public Works.
With their truck. And they came in systematically, and they had a warrant because we had stolen stuff. I had signs in my bedroom. My buddy Craig had signs. They went in and systematically took back all of the street signs, put it in the back of that guy's pickup truck. And, you know, the cop basically just said, hey, look, if I ever need to come back here again or have to, it's going to be a lot worse. So just understand, I'm going to throw you in jail for drug possession. I'm going to throw you in jail for drug paraphernalia. For being underage and having a keg of beer in your living room, all these things. We're like, we are so sorry. But what did they bust us for? They busted us for the signs. And they came back and they got them all. So that was the worst of it.
First time I ever had a cop.
Stealing stop signs is a serious issue. Like,
well, first of all, it's too dangerous.
That's what I'm going to say. Yeah, just because people cruising through don't know it's a four-way stop.
And again, when you're young,
we did not think of that.
You just don't think about anything.
Right.
The same house where everyone thought I was going to jump off the roof and kill myself. We had a bong on our coffee table. And same thing. The cop showed up, but it was daylight outside. I don't remember why he came by, but he came by. He was not there for the bong, but he sees it, points at it, says, "Gentlemen, what is that?" And I mean, none of us were slick. No one had a good comeback. So we're just sitting there frozen, like, "Oh no! Like, this is it. We're going to jail." And he's like, "Is that a bong?" And my buddy Leon, and I love this movie. He's like, "Oh, what?" Cop's like, "A bong." And Leon's like, "Does that bomb say a bong?" And then I was like, "Bong, bong." Kind of dumbass word is bong. Well, except you hit with a bell, like bong. And we just kept doing that. Guy just kind of smiled. It's like, Jesus Christ. And left. Like, we got in trouble for whatever we got in trouble for, but the bong. He's like, "A bong? Oh, what the hell is a bong? Bong."
What's happening in the city? The cop, "I think you guys are under 21. Do you mind if I come in? Can you not? Turn the music down."
Can you not? Who Sucks Less is coming up at 4:30 right after emails and our question, what did you do and what was the punishment you received? You are listening to The Men's Room.